Welcome to Love Works with Chris and Karen Conley. This is Karen. I'm in studio for part two of our podcast on how I lost 40 pounds in 2015. And I would be my husband who's sitting right next to me. And we are very fortunate to have Chris Thomas, who was a huge part in us having victory over this, what felt like at one point an insurmountable goal. And so, Chris, thank you for coming back for part two.
Thanks for having me.
Last time, we were really talking about how very small habits have an incredible impact on our life. And we've obviously talking about that in the context of physical health, but there are a lot of spiritual principles that apply to our physical health. And we talked about the fact that you reap what you sow. And so, Chris, maybe as a launching point back into our conversation, what did you learn about the reaping and sowing process through this?
Well, what's funny about that statement, you reap what you sow, is there's a lot of people out there that may not be Christian that they just think that's a common statement. It's one of the most timeless truths there is. It's one that whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God, you will never beat the truth of that statement. If you sow good things, you're going to reap good things. If you sow bad things, you're going to reap bad things. And so what's important to understand in the world of health and weight loss, you will not be the first exception to this principle. But yet everybody wants to find the magic pill that Chris talked about in the first podcast. Everybody wants to be able to find the shortcut. But what we've got to do is we've got to realize that this is simply a habit. Health is a habit. And you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, right? I mean, isn't that the definition of insanity? That you can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. So here's the deal. Nothing changes until your habits change. The reason why Chris was so helpful to us is because, Chris, you began the process of helping us change our habits in the world of nutrition. What were some of the things that when you began to help us that were those initial things that you recommended? I remember I had to kind of fill out like this 2-week journal of everything I ate. Talk about that for a second.
The process starts with awareness. I usually tell people to start journaling your food, write down everything you're eating from breakfast to the end of your day, no matter what it is. And as you're doing that, it helps me to see where you are, but it also helps you to really be aware of how much you're taking in or how little you're taking in, because some people don't eat enough, and that's the reason why they gain weight. And then there are others, they don't eat too many calories, but they eat too much of the wrong kind of foods. So as you teach people awareness, they can say, oh, well, you know, I eat healthy or I eat pretty clean. They might think they do, but what they think is healthy or clean eating is actually not really healthy or clean, but based on what, oh, well, I don't eat as bad as this person next to me kind of view. So when you come to me and I go through the process of looking at your food, I can help you to weed out these things and give you kind of the truth about the foods that you think are healthy in your life. And then as you start to take them out of your diet, you'll start to notice that, hey, I feel better, or hey, I am losing weight. And then you have at some point to decide, do I want to keep this food out of my diet because I like the way I feel and look, or do I want to add it back in and suffer the consequences of it?
It was a real shocker to me, your definition of healthy food versus my definition of healthy food.
I was somewhere in the middle to translate between the two.
That's right.
I think about it in some of the things that were so helpful to me. Chris Thomas and I'm so sorry. I should apologize now publicly for how many texts I sent you. But in those first days when you're trying to break habits, it can be sometimes overwhelming. You're trying to begin a process. Chris Conley, tell us about the process. Why is process such an important thing to understand in this?
I think it's important to understand weight gain is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. So in the exact same way, weight loss is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. In that, I've got to commit to the process. So I remember, because I want to keep going back to this because this is so important. Our church, I recommended to our church that we would focus on one word this year. 2015, for me, the word was health, and we turned that one word into a habit. I will exercise at least 4 times a week and journal my food daily. That's the process, all right? I can remember early on, this is how helpful Chris was in this process. You would make a care package, so to speak. You would have all of my food set out where I didn't really have to make a lot of choices. I just had everything I was supposed to eat that day. And it just helped so much to not have to make the choices. And I committed to that process. What became easy for me was the work days were easy because I really limited the amount of time that I was going out to lunch. I would just eat what was set before me. And then even when we would go out for meals and go out to dinner, we would text Chris and we'd tell her what restaurant we were at. And she would even help us pick out something on the menu. I think I came codependent on Chris.
Well, from the vantage point of your wife, what I didn't realize is I needed as much help as you did. It really was a team. If you're trying to help your spouse or your child or somebody to lose weight, even that can feel overwhelming. I can think of how many times I felt responsible for his weight loss, or I, as his spouse, wanted him to lose weight, but I didn't want to nag, but I didn't want to have unhealthy things around. And so, Chris, talk a little bit about how important it is to have a support system. Now, we were blessed to have you. Why is that need so strong?
Having people around you is the only way you're really going to be able to do this. If you're alone doing it, it's going to be harder. And to be honest, mine was an alone journey when I started because there wasn't a lot of people pursuing a health and fitness, you know, lifestyle back then. I believe the reason I want to do this now as a profession is because I know the struggle. And I know that without those people in your life, like, it's harder to do. And most people can't do it without someone. Most people will try, but they don't see the results. They don't keep going. They just give up and throw in the towel. But if you have people with you, working with you, whether it be your family that supports you or a group of friends or, you know, a group of fitness instructors, whatever it is, they're going to push you. That is vital to your success, to be honest. If you're in a marriage with someone that eats bad and they're thin and you're eat bad and you're fat, well, that's going to be a problem because as you try and they're not trying and what's easy for them is not for you, you're going to get defeated and they're not going to want to change. And so if you work together, it's going to be beneficial to both of you.
When I think about what you just said, there are certain people that just have different body types, certain people that have different types of metabolism. I think of Lance Scarborough on our staff team. Lance is one of the most enjoyable people in the world to be around. I keep waiting for him to get old enough that his metabolism changes because he eats whatever he wants to eat and is as happy as he can be about it and never gains any weight. I look at it and I gain weight. So it's one of those things that, again, if we go back to that word process, I want to bring us back for just a moment to another way to think about that from a spiritual perspective. In Galatians 6:9, it says this, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Chris, this is where you helped me big time. Karen said in the first podcast that I had been working out for 6 months and had not lost any weight. So in May of 2015, I asked you, hey, would you help me with the diet part of this? Would you help me with the nutrition part of this? You began to take me through this process of the 24-day cleanse. The first time I can remember, in 24 days, I didn't break a rule. And what was really, really terrible is never go on a vacation during a 24-day cleanse. I went on a vacation during a 24-day cleanse and never broke a rule. And then at the end of the 24 days, I did not lose a single pound. I remember getting on that scale, and I wanted to use your name as a cuss word. Chris Thomas! You know, Piet is the guy that helps me work out and just scream, Piet! You know, and stuff. And so it was one of those things that you kind of talked me off the ledge and came back and said, okay, listen, don't grow weary in doing good. And you talked to me about our metabolism. Tell us about that.
Well, it takes time to gain weight, right? And so therefore, it takes time to lose weight. And your body, you have to make your body a believer. Hey, I'm really going to do this because your body knows that you're quick to give up. So it's not going to be quick to change. As you go through 30 days of changing your habits and start to put these disciplines in your life, your body is still not convinced that it's going to change. And so it's like, let's just give him a little more time. So as you continue to go, the 30 days, the 60 days, the 90 days, at some point, you will begin to make your body a believer. And as you do that, your metabolism will reset because now you're feeding it the proper foods. You've already been exercising, but now you're eating healthy foods. Now your body is going, okay, he's not going back to the donuts or whatever it is that this person's eating. And then next thing you know, you do start to lose weight. And maybe your first milestone is 5 pounds, but that still should be celebrated. And then the next one is 13 pounds. And that gives you a little more momentum to continue on. So at 90 days, maybe you're halfway through your goal. And now you're like, I'm not going to give up because here I am. I've made it this far. And then you keep going and you keep going. But there are going to be months where you don't lose weight. And if you give up on month one, you never make it to see what your results can be.
what I remember is when I went through the 24-day cleanse and I didn't lose any weight, Chris said, for some people, it takes somewhere between 30 and 90 days for your metabolism to recalibrate. So I'm sitting there hoping, oh gosh, I hope mine's like 60 days. And what ended up happening for me, I felt like it was about 45 days, about 45 days into this process. And what was so helpful is we were doing these 24-day cycles. And I found a 24-day cycle, it moved quick enough that I was able to get on the scale every 24 days, and I was able to kind of have some anticipation. 30 days seemed like it was too long. And when I got on the scale that next 24-day cycle, and I remember I saw like 7 pounds or 8 pounds, it was like, hallelujah. You know, I mean, it was just like, it was crazy that finally, then I had the hope that maybe my metabolism had recalibrated because I'd been stuck at that weight for so long.
Not only did you celebrate, I thought, oh my goodness, if this doesn't work, what are we going to do? Because it felt like we had tried everything that we could. But honestly, when we reached out to Chris, you were able to teach us things about, okay, it's okay to have a carb, but there's certain types of carb and there's certain times you should eat them or not. And things like that, that the average person maybe isn't aware of, that kind of gives you this place of, okay, with that information, we can make better choices. So, Chris, you obviously are familiar with my Chris's journey. What are the common things that you experience as you're helping someone through that first stage of the journey? Where are the places that they get stuck that if they were listening right now, they would go, yeah, I've been there, done that, and that's when I quit? What are some of the things that you might encourage them to keep going with?
First off, most people don't know how to eat. Most people think, oh, well, I don't eat that much, so therefore, like, I shouldn't be gaining weight. I should be thin because I eat lunch and then I eat dinner, or I eat 1,000 calories a day. So because of that, they think that they should be successful in their attempts. And I tell people all the time, like, it's not about the calorie content necessarily or depriving yourself. It's really and truly about putting good foods into your body. So if you don't know how to eat, then reach out to someone, because it is hard. If you don't know how to eat, it's like you're just kind of wandering around, you know, just aiming at nothing. I'm going to lose weight. I don't really know how. I'm just going to walk around blind. So reach out to someone. Ask someone, you know, people in your life that are successful with this, then go to them. You know, you can definitely reach out to me, but also the others in your life that are doing this. Ask them what they did. When you journal, write down, you know, the way the foods make you feel, because so many things that I've learned about myself through this process is by food journaling. And I realized that gluten and dairy were problems in my life, and I didn't know that they were problems before. I thought they were fine. I ate and I'm bloated, but I thought that was just a result of eating food. But really, it was the result of eating foods that my body had an allergic reaction to. And so you might find yourself with a dairy intolerance or with a gluten intolerance. When you take these things out of your diet, those are going to be things that are going to actually help you to go forward in this process.
This is obviously a very important topic. Your health is incredibly important. To that person out there that thinks, sure, I need to do something, but I don't really know that I have the time or the money to do it, what would you say to them?
At some point, you're going to have to make the time, because it's going to come down to you're going to be going to the doctor and you're going to be spending money at the doctor's office. Make the time now while your body is at a place where it's relatively healthy. If you do that by investing in your health, that's going to help you. It's going to help others around you. Since I have been on my health and fitness journey, I don't hardly ever go to the doctor. I don't hardly ever take any antibiotics. I don't take really and truly anything. The stuff that I do take are vitamins and minerals, my Avicare products. And other than that, that's it. If I get sick, it's usually at a holiday time when I'm around lots of people and eating foods that are not so good for me, and which my immune system breaks down. But other than that, that's it. You know, my child, she's never sick. We're just pretty healthy overall. And so if you invest in your health on this end, it's going to pay off long term. When you're 65 years old, do you want to have a quality life or do you want to have a quantity life? I don't want to live to be 65 and be at the doctor every week. I want to live to be 65 and be still working out, however, if it's walking around the block. So I would say that what you do today will pay off later on.
In the idea of investment, there's always a return on that investment. And the return on the investment is worth whatever investment it took. Yes, there's a certain investment to buy in the types of food that you need to buy. We chose to use the Avicare products. There was an investment in that. But if you and I were to look back over 2015, we don't regret any investment that we've made. But I would say the greatest investment that was required was the investment of friends. We built friendships through this. I've got four guys that I work out with. We depend upon one another, and we're texting one another, making sure that they're going to be there. And it's easier to work out when they show up than if I'm by myself. So there's an investment of doing it with a group of people that you begin to care about one another, not just your health, and you begin to celebrate their wins and they celebrate your wins. And then honestly, every time I see Chris and I'm grateful and I'm happy to share how much she's helped me because I know how much she can help other people. So there's a friendship that's been built there. There's a certain loyalty that occurs when you help people. So we had an investment in a workout team. We had an investment in a nutrition team. And then Karen, you were a huge investment. I couldn't have done this without you. You came alongside and helped me by just kind of having that daily packet of this is what you need. And you knew that if I had to make too many changes, I'd fail. And so you limited the number of changes I had to make. And you took some of the thinking out of it where I could just do what I needed to do.
I think back to what Chris Thomas said about making that investment and that you just alluded to. The reality is one of the defining moments for you was the death of your father in October of 2014. Maybe share that story because I think it's easy to say we want to be 65 and healthy. It's another thing to watch the person that you love to leave this earth when he did. What implication did that have on your health?
Before I tell that story, let me kind of put it in the context of a principle. A lot of times we say, I'm just not disciplined in that. And we feel like we have a discipline problem. But what I have found in life is people are disciplined in areas that are motivated. So if you can find where someone's motivated, you'll also find where they're disciplined. So most of the time we don't have a discipline problem. We have a motivation problem. I was disciplined in so many areas of my life. And this was kind of the one area I gave myself permission to not be disciplined. When my dad had a heart attack, I went to the hospital. When I got there, he was still in the back of the ambulance and they were working on him. Jumped up in the ambulance and I'm holding his hand, but it's evident to me and probably to everyone else that he's gone. And I remember there holding his hand, just kind of said to myself, I've lost him. I've lost him. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me immediately, I got him. And there was just this sense of kind of taking a deep breath. I got him. But then the second thought I had was my dad, and I don't know why he would say this, but my dad would always say, I just want to live long enough to watch Mark graduate high school. And I looked at him and I thought, he didn't make it. And I looked at him and they had his shirt all ripped off and my dad was probably 30, 40 pounds overweight. And I thought, okay, you big dummy, don't repeat what he just did. All of a sudden got the proper motivation. And when I got the proper motivation, I became disciplined. A tragic situation got my attention. And it got my attention in such a way that I built a workout team, that I got a nutrition team and the two of you, and committed to one word that I'm going to turn into one habit, the word health. And I'm going to exercise at least four times a week, and I'm going to journal my food daily. And I remember one moment that I thought, okay, this is working. Okay, I am having a breakthrough. And you could have never told me on the front end of the equation. I remember I started craving apples and peanut butter. And I was supposed to only, according to Chris and her specifications, have like three pieces of fruit a week before 3 p.m. I like wanted apple and peanut butter all the time. And Karen said to me one day, you're having too many apples and peanut butter. I said, listen, I'm doing wonderful. I'm not having cheesecake. I knew I was winning at that point.
Now I think about the investment. I know that you are going to be healthy when your daughter walks down the aisle. I'm just so much more confident that your health is not going to be something that stands in the way of God using you even more. And I know that we're coming to the end of our time, but one thing I want to ask Chris before we go, one of my biggest struggles in helping Chris was we're just busy. And it's hard to have food ready all the time. And I've got my own world going on and taking care of our kids. And so all of a sudden talking about food each day and his snacks and all this kind of stuff. But you helped me. I came over to your house one day and you showed me how to prepare food for the week, which was so helpful to me. Share a little bit about the food preparation part so people know that you're not going to spend your whole life in the kitchen if you're doing this.
A little time, you know, produces a lot. I can spend an hour prepping sweet potatoes and chicken salad. It really doesn't take as much time as you think. But let's just say you allot 3 hours on a Saturday or a Sunday, and you spend that time cooking. And maybe you don't get all of your meals done, but you get the majority of the ones that are going to help you the most done. Those things are going to help you be successful for the week when you're hungry and you come home and you haven't eaten all day because you didn't prepare to take food with you and you've got food to eat right then and there. You just have to warm it up. Or I don't have time because my week is completely booked with appointments, but yet I'm going to spend 3 or 4 hours on a Sunday and cook meals. So that way my family has food and I have food, and those things are going to just prepare you for success. And so put in a little extra work and use that time to do the things that you need to do that are going to help you get the results that you want.
I want to address the question that I receive most frequently. People will ask me, okay, what does your daily routine look like? Let me just kind of walk through that for just a second. At least 5 days a week, I work out. I do a modified version of CrossFit. I don't do the extreme version that the A team does. I think I've moved up to the B team, not the C team, but a modified version of CrossFit 5 days a week. I do a meal replacement shake and then drink a lot of water. I do a meal replacement shake right after that workout. Probably 10 o'clock, I do some type of protein bar, some type of energy bar, some type of snack. Then at lunch, I'll do chicken, fish, and a vegetable. I typically try to do red meat twice a week, maybe 3 times a week. In the afternoon, 2:30, 3 o'clock, I'll do another type of snack, another type of meal replacement bar, or a fruit. You know, that's when I get my apples and peanut butter, right? Only 3 days a week, by the way. Then at nighttime, what I'll do is, Karen, unless we're out to eat, and we've got to be very selective when we're out to eat, but Karen will prepare something that will give me a lot of times the protein, it's the vegetable, and then I'll get a carb that is a sweet potato, or carb that is brown rice or something like that. Now, some of the challenges is what we try to do is we try not to eat anything after dinner. So that's a challenge. And what I have found to be true is that the work days are my best days. Monday through Friday, I can do this. I'm focused. I'm on the move. I'm doing those things. The days that are hard are like Saturday, if you're just around the house and watching sports or just hanging out and you just kind of want to graze, right? So those are some of the harder days. But if I can just keep myself busy and keep myself in my routine, then I have found that the routine works for me. And now people are asking, can you maintain this? Can you do this? And I really do think the fact that we built a habit made this something that's sustainable. So how do we have sustained success? We have to continue to build the new habit, because if the new habit disappears, the bad habit reappears. We want to encourage all of you. This year, I'm encouraging people in our church to pick the word first as one of their words. An example of taking that word first and turning it into a habit is that I'm going to have a priority time daily and worship weekly. So that's another example of one word and turn into a habit. If health needs to be that for you, what I did last year was I will exercise at least 4 times a week and journal my food daily.
And I would add to that and call Chris Thomas, because it is so helpful to have someone there. I think you were as much an encouragement to me as you were to Chris to keep pushing through, and that we would see results eventually. So, Chris, as we wrap up this second podcast, tell us one more time your website address so someone can check out your business.
CF4Training.com, and that's CF and then the number 4 training.com.
Thank you so much, and thank you just for your investment in our family, the way that you have helped us. Can't wait to see how the Lord's going to use you to help so many other people. That brings us the end of our podcast. If you would like more information on High Point Church, you can go to highpointmemphis.com. You can follow along on Chris's blog at chrisconley.net or karenconley.com. But above all things, we want you to remember that love God plus love people equals love works.